Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
We were talking about LeBron last night, and you tried to get me off topic.
I didn't get you off
topic.
And talk
about Greg Popovich and
no, that
Larry,
was you.
Your favorite coach, Larry Brown, and all that. And let's get back on topic. LeBron James was sensational last night. Of course, you can always write any regular season game off as just that, a regular season game. Of course, that's what it is. But that's what we talk about. He with 42 points, 20 of them in the fourth quarter, and I liked the way he played. Like, I thought those first three quarters, he got everybody involved. He was really playing off the ball at times, moving the ball a lot. Kuzma and other guys were really doing their thing. And then when it came time to close, now he hadn't been doing that early in the season. He wasn't closing out some of the games that were there for the taking. But last night, he did take it upon himself to do that. And I really would like to see him take that attitude the rest of the season, Rob. Like that Michael Jordan. Remember Jordan used to do that? Get everybody involved the first three quarters, maybe has 19 points going into the fourth. And then he takes over and closes down the stretch. That's what I want out of LeBron James this year.
I got you. I mean, I guess I'm looking at LeBron differently. To me, I just want to see how it all figures out in the postseason. The regular season with LeBron really doesn't interest me that much. I just want to see what kind of impact he's going to have and if he's going to be able to get this team and will this team to a second round. Everybody else thinks he's going to the Western Conference Finals. So if he does that, I'm going to tip my cap to LeBron James. But I just don't see that happening, not yet at least, or not the way that the team is constructed. And right now they're doing what
they're
supposed to do. No, I don't.
What teams in the West are better other than
Golden
State?
It's just not that. I think that those teams that have struggled so far in the first quarter of the season will get better because they have a better track record. Houston will be better. And some of the other, Portland and some of the other teams that have struggled so far, I think will be there when the time comes. I don't believe that some of the other teams that have taken their place, like the Memphis and teams
Memphis,
like that.
I think, is going to fall back.
You know what I mean? Or Sacramento's played relatively well. They're not going to be there. The other teams that normally are there in the West, I believe, will be there. And so there's time for that. So I want to wait to see how that plays out. It's no disrespect to LeBron or whatever. It's just like I said, he's Tiger Woods now. He set the bar so high that it's about championships. It's not about regular season. It's not about anything other than that. Tiger can win all the little pittance of a tournament that really don't matter. But until he wins a major, people aren't going to look at Tiger again at the same way. And I think it's the same thing for LeBron. If he comes to L.A. for 4 years and doesn't get a championship, it doesn't matter what he does. It won't matter.
I do think it matters in the regular season because he could get his fifth MVP award and match Michael Jordan. I mean, this is all helping to create your legacy. If he were to win the MVP award in his 16th year.
And if he doesn't, does it change
anything?
No.
Okay. But, well, I mean, it changes the fact that he hadn't tied Michael Jordan for his MVP. I mean, of course, it's more so about championships, but the regular season also matters. The regular season is where legacies are made as well. You know, if you're not great in the regular season and you are great in the postseason, yeah, you get some pub for that and some love for that, but you really got to do both.
I don't think LeBron James, at this point, 16 years in, I just think ultimately he's going to be judged at what happens come postseason. Not that no one's going to look at it. I got it. We got months to go. The playoffs don't start till April. I get it. So there's a lot of games. Most people look at the NBA officially starting on Christmas Day when people kick into the NBA or whatever
it's officially
fully.
Started. Don't get it twisted. No,
officially for a lot of people, they start to tune in because football's winding down and the NBA, everybody watches all those games on Christmas Day, and it's a big day for the NBA. So we'll see how it all squares out, but I'm still waiting for the postseason LeBron. That's what I'm most interested in.
But what'd you think of his game last night?
Played well.
That's it.
Chris, I don't know what you want me to say.
I would like to see him have that attitude.
Well.
I would like to see him take that attitude the rest of this season. Like, if I'm not getting a star, because here's the one thing, and I've said it myself. LeBron's formula, if they don't get that second superstar, he's not winning a championship. And you and I, you know, we have him below Michael Jordan in the GOAT conversation and all that. But I think he should take that attitude of going proving us wrong. Not that he's focused on us, but prove all those out there who say you have to have a second star. I mean, Kawhi Leonard doesn't really. I mean, Kyle Lowry's been an all-star. But, you know, it's mainly Kawhi Leonard is the main guy there. Giannis Antetokounmpo doesn't really have a second star in Milwaukee. Most teams don't. So I think LeBron could do something that nobody really thinks he's capable of doing. He could try to do it at least. I don't know that he can do it. But try to lead this team. Take it upon yourself as I'm the superstar. I can get it done by myself. I'm going to go out and show that I'm better than Michael Jordan. And if he were to win a championship with this team, I think even you'd have to give him big-time props on that.
But I don't even think when you say that, you don't even believe it.
No, I don't think he's better than Michael Jordan, and I don't think he can. But my thing is, I don't want this attitude of we're waiting for our second star next year. Like, is this year is just an experiment?
But if you talk to Laker fans, that's all they talk about. And every player who became available, they just can't wait to get it. It wasn't enough to have LeBron. You know that,
Chris. They can talk that all they want. They're not the ones on the court.
They know that they need another player. Everybody knows it. Magic knows it. Rob Pelinka knows it. LeBron knows it. They know that they, with the roster the way it's set up and the players that they have, that they can't win a championship. You're talking about Golden State, and they haven't even had their whole team complete yet this year.
My point is I don't want that attitude. I get it. I'm sitting here as an observer and saying, yeah, they need a second star. You're saying that. Rob Pelinka and Magic, that's their jobs to improve the team, make it as good as it can be. Yeah, get that second star. But as a player, I don't think Russell Westbrook is conceding that they can't beat Golden State. I don't think Kawhi Leonard is conceding that they can't beat Golden State. And what I'm saying is from the players, the number one player, LeBron James, I want the attitude of we're going to go out and beat Golden State this year with what we have.
Yeah, but Chris, I think that you have that. I don't think that people automatically concede, or if you're a player, you always believe that you have a chance to win. But I don't know if that's always the reality. I don't think LeBron for one second thought, oh, this season's over. I'm just kind of going to go through the motions, and the season's over. I can't win. I don't believe that. Not for one second. I don't care what team you're on. People don't believe that. You wouldn't be playing competitive and trying to win if you really would concede, because miracles happen. Things happen.
Right.
Teams that aren't supposed to win.
Right.
But I just don't believe that the Warriors aren't going to win the championship. And until I see it for myself, I won't believe it, that they don't win.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, we were talking about the Lakers game last night. LeBron led them to victory over San Antonio with 42 points. But there's another big game last night, Rob, and it became big because of the history that was made. Oklahoma City beat Brooklyn. Ho-hum. Of course they beat Brooklyn.
Hey, Brooklyn was winning that game the whole night,
and they turned it on. That's Brooklyn's story.
No, I'm just saying. And OKC turned it on. I watched the entire game last night.
Did you?
Yes, while we were doing the show. What do you mean, did I?
Wow.
I have a TV right in front of me in the
studio. I know that TV.
You know that TV.
One TV. You can't watch anything else. You got
but
that
that's
one
what I watched.
TV.
I wanted to see OKC. I did. So I just
so you
because there were some other games on.
Right. You saw Westbrook go for 21 points, 17 assists, and 15 rebounds. That's what you call a mammoth triple-double.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And he broke Jason Kidd's, not record, but he passed Jason Kidd on the all-time list of triple-doubles. Now he's got 108. He's behind, correct me if I'm wrong, Rob G, he's behind only Oscar Robertson and Magic Johnson. Is that correct? Look that up and confirm it for me. But that's the case with Westbrook. Here it is. Yeah, he passes Jason Kidd on the triple-double list. He's still about 70-something behind Oscar. But I think this is a great legacy. And, oh, by the way, Westbrook is actually averaging a triple-double again. This is the third straight year that he's doing it. So that ties in, Rob, with something that Allen Iverson said recently. This week, it was a great article about Iverson. It was really told, you know, Allen Iverson first-person article in the Players Tribune.
I told you this before, Chris, about Iverson. I once had dinner here in New York City with Allen Iverson and maybe two or three other reporters. It was just like the four of us at this dinner in the city. And I think it was, when did they boo him at the All-Star game in Cleveland? Was that his first year or second year, Chris?
Second
year, that's what I thought. That's when I had dinner, was after that. And I remember how hurt he was because he felt like, what did I do to people? Why are they booing me? And he was really bothered by it. And when I left, and you spent time around him, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And the one thing that people don't understand, they get caught up in the braids and the tats. He's a sensitive guy. And he's actually in person he's a charming guy when you sit down and really just have a conversation with him. I was so impressed by him. And what I thought going in was not even close to who he is. And I got to, you know him again in Detroit when he played. Things didn't work out there. But I've always liked Allen Iverson.
No, you're right on the money. One of the things he said in this article, because the whole point of it was he wanted to tell you about an Allen Iverson that you may not have known, the real Allen Iverson. And the first thing he said, he gave a list of about 15 things. And the first thing was that he can draw. And
really?
I did a story on Iverson for ESPN the magazine back in maybe 2007, something like that. And it was about his ability to draw. I mean, it was other things in there, but he is a terrific artist. And I mean, he draws caricatures of people.
Wow.
And so for the magazine article, he drew a caricature of himself as like an old man, 50, 60 years old, still with the braids, still with the baggy jeans.
They were gray braids.
Well, it was in black and white. Yeah, but it was like him as an old man. But he would do that on the plane or the team bus. He would draw caricatures of his teammates and have everybody in stitches with the way he drew. He really, I mean, he can draw to the point where, and I even mentioned this to him, he really should do, whether it's books or posters or, you know, calendars, something where he gets credit and he puts his art out there, because he really is a great little artist. But
Why you gotta say little?
Well, he's, you know, six-footer. Six-footer, that's little by NBA standards.
He's taller than you, Chris.
But by NBA standards.
He's taller than you.
I was little by NBA standards or by basketball standards, which made it great when I could dunk. Because then I could say I had hops.
You dunked one time and that was it. You dunked one time.
No, I could dunk. I couldn't dunk in a game. I never dunked in a game because I probably would miss. No, because I would miss. But I could dunk, you know, I could dunk maybe 3-4 times out of 10 in practice. So I said, I can't never try it in a game. A real game. I dunked in games on the playground and stuff. So Iverson said something that's related to Westbrook. He didn't mention Westbrook, but in terms of the attitude, and I want to get your thoughts on this, Rob. Rob G, can you read this?
Yeah, the premise was about his affinity for super teams.
This is from the Tribune, well, correct? Players Tribune?
He was comparing the super team era, which we know we're in now, to his era.
Right.
When it was about getting it done by your lonesome.
What does he think about the super teams? His quote, "Just me personally, I liked our way. I liked being that rock star, that little general. And then everybody else, welcome aboard, salute. They're my soldiers.
There it is. That's,
I like it.
That's Russell. Iverson used to always say, I don't want to be traded from Philadelphia. And if it means I don't win a championship, so be it. I'm going to try my heart out, and we all know that, in Philadelphia, but I'm going to go down swinging. And that's what I think Westbrook's doing. I like that attitude with Westbrook. I don't think he's going to lead Oklahoma City to a title. Maybe they do. I mean, they're a really good team this year, but I don't think they're going to get a championship.
I would like to see him go down swinging. I believe Westbrook will win a championship.
Really?
At some point. I really do.
In Oklahoma?
Yep. I believe that that at some point, I don't know if somebody else comes there or they get some other player to add to the mix.
They don't have much room, you know.
And then things change, obviously. But things change with where LeBron is and what, you know, what the Warriors are doing and where Kevin Durant goes. I just think when he was able to lure
Paul George
there, that said a lot. People have said a lot of bad things about him. He was selfish. Nobody wanted to play with him. That was the narrative, and Paul George debunked that because he had a chance to go back home to play for the Lakers. It was something they had talked about, a dream coming true and all that. And when it came down to it, he stuck by Westbrook. And I think that speaks volumes about Westbrook. And the one thing that guy doesn't do, Chris, he doesn't cheat you. He plays hard every single night. I respect that a lot.
And you mentioned Paul George playing alongside Westbrook. George is averaging career highs in points, rebounds, and assists. I mean, so all the talk that you can't flourish next to Westbrook, it's always been hogwash because Kevin Durant and Westbrook had the Warriors down 3-1. They should have won that series. And then would they have beaten Cleveland? Who knows? It would have been a good series. But they had them down 3-1, the 73-win Warriors. They didn't close it. The both of them, you know, played poorly in game 6 and 7. But they built that lead over the Warriors. So you can win at a high level with Westbrook. Let me ask you this. If he stays in, if he were to go to a super team and win a championship, would you have more respect for him than if he stays in Oklahoma City, plays his heart out, but never wins a ring?
No, I don't look at, like, if you don't win a ring and things don't work out, like, I never discount Charles Barkley. I never discount Patrick Ewing. I watched those guys play, give their all, do whatever they had to do. They were great players at Reggie Miller. I saw all those guys, and they didn't win. I don't look at them any less and say, oh, well, you know, they didn't get a championship, but that didn't mean that they didn't try to win or they didn't give their all. So I don't look at people like that. I don't strictly look at rings when talking about great players.
Right. I'm with you. Look, they all try hard. We know they want to win.
Yep.
It does with some, like, if Ewing had won a ring, if New York had beaten Houston in the 94 finals, then maybe the legacies of Hakeem Olajuwon, and Patrick Ewing are switched.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So it does impact you, but they're still great players. And you're right. Westbrook's going to be an icon.
He will be.
Because he's going to be – whenever we talk about Oscar Robertson, we don't talk about the one title he won with Milwaukee. We talk about he averaged a triple-double for full season. Now with Westbrook, you're going to be able to say, this is the only player in NBA history to average a triple-double 2 years. And heck, it might be three because he's averaging one right now. I mean, that's phenomenal. A ring certainly would boost his legacy a bit, but I do like the attitude of, you know, getting it done where you're at. And if you don't get that title, so be it. But I don't have a problem with a guy wanting his own team. So if Kawhi goes to the Clippers or stays in Toronto instead of joining LeBron with the Lakers, I'm going to have no problem with that. I get it why a superstar would want his own team. If you're a superstar, then like Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley is a superstar Hall of Famer. If he had gone, I would rather have his career than go to some super team and average 15 points a game and win a championship. That's me. But when you're a superstar, you don't want to be a role player.
No.
You're cheating yourself. Now, the one you were in Detroit, I want your thoughts on Mark Aguirre. He wasn't quite a superstar, but he was a star in Dallas.
Yep.
And he went to Detroit, and he was very selfless. Became somewhat of a role player and won a championship. So he was the one difference. But I think when you're a superstar and you have that type of ability, if you can average 25 points a game on a good team, maybe not a championship team, but a good team, you want to do that. You don't want to go somewhere and average 14, even if you win.
And it's hard to take a lesser role if you have that ability just to be with somebody. I get it. I totally agree with you. I would rather stay there and be the star and hope that they can put people around me.
Right. And when you're a role player, it's easy to accept that, right? I was a role player in college, so it was easy for me to go out and do all the dirty work and just be happy we won.
What
and
kind
not
of
look
role?
At my
was
numbers.
It a Kaiser role? What kind of role were you?
Point guard, baby, distributing defense, D'ing people up.
I could see you as like a Cornbread Maxwell waving the towel at Oberlin. Is that what you were doing?
No, I played. I started.
Oh, did you
and
play?
Played.
How many minutes did you play again?
I started 2 of the 4 years.
How many minutes did you play? Just because you started.
Starting means you played 30-something minutes.
You played 30 minutes a game?
Yeah. I mean, what did you average? It's a 40-minute game. I played 30 minutes. I was about 6 points score. I was a role player, like I said.
Okay.
Just running the offense, you know, defending, stuff like that. You know.
Nobody on the team
was
only over 6 feet,
It was only in the media games that I became this chucker.
Oh, there you go.
You know, in the media, I shoot a lot because I eat them cats up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Ain't nobody exempt in the barbershop. You know that. Ain't nobody exempt. You can talk about whoever and whatever, whenever you want to in the barbershop.
Now, it's Shop Talk.
Yes, sir. It is Shop Talk, The Odd Couple, Fox Sports Radio. We do this every single Thursday where we take a segment to take a look outside of the world of sports because we have interests outside of the hardwood in the NFL. And one of them is actually courtesy of someone affiliated with the NBA. Kendrick Perkins, I don't know if you guys saw this, went on a social media rant against Adam Levine of Maroon 5. He's also a host on The Voice because Adam cut Kendrick's favorite person from The Voice. Here's just a little quick quote. It says, Adam, you pulled out your pocket knife and stabbed DeAndre Nico right in the back with that BS you pulled tonight. You are BSMF for you that F. I can't even get all the letters in.
Wow.
It's just really deep. Go check it out. So that had me thinking, if Kendrick Perkins likes The Voice, what are some of your guilty pleasures, things that you do on your own that maybe not everyone thinks that they would expect from someone like you?
Well, Rob, I was going to say, does whipped cream count? I keep a can under my bed.
That's gross.
That brings to mind all sorts of things. I don't even want you to expound on that, man. Just leave that alone. I'm gonna share my guilty pleasure.
No, I have one. Go ahead.
You know, when I was in junior high, we lived in Syracuse, and we lived in an overwhelmingly white environment. My brother and I, we were the only two black kids in our school.
But I'm not sure with your skin tone. Are you sure that they knew you were black?
Oh, they knew we were black. Yeah, we made sure they knew we were black.
Okay.
So we liked hip-hop, and this was the early 80s. You know, hip-hop was just coming on the scene in terms of, records. And so we loved hip-hop. And so on the bus, it was always the battle. Were we going to control the music and play our hip-hop, Treacherous 3 and Sugar Hill Gang, Grandmaster Flash, all that? Or were the rockers gonna control the music and, you know, the Death to Disco kids and all that? So they would, when they would control it, they would play Journey and there you go, and REO Speedwagon and Rush and all that stuff, and The Who. And I never would admit back then that I liked that music because it was a battle. But I got to admit, Rob, I kind of liked some of that stuff. And now I've been thinking, I got to put together a playlist of 80s pop jams. I'm going to call it my white jams. Pat Benatar, Fleetwood Mac, some of this stuff. So that's my guilty pleasure. You know, because everybody thinks I'm a hip-hop head, which I am. But I can dig some of this stuff.
No, I understand that. And you know I have a couple things, especially because I love a certain TV show. I'm not even going to mention it. But you know what? When I think about
Golden,
like,
Girls, is that a...
Well, you know, I just can't help. I can't help it. But I know. I would say, is it something that, if we say guilty pleasure, could it be something that I do?
Yeah. I mean, just keep it clean.
No, it's clean.
After that whipped
clean.
Cream, stop.
I need a cold
clean.
Shower.
Careful.
No, it's clean.
Right.
But you know what? I think I got a problem. I love to shop. I enjoy it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, like you come in here with Prada sneakers and Jordans, a different pair of sneakers every day.
I know you always ask me, are those new? Chris asks me that all the time because he's like, but I do. It's like the thing that I like to do. But I'm not just throwing around money. I like to find deals. I like to get nice stuff. You know what I mean?
I feel you. That's cool.
I enjoy it.
That's cool. Deb, we got about 20 seconds. You got one?
I did both of mine today. I had a grilled cheese sandwich, and I watched a show called My Lottery Dream Home. Where a flamboyant guy named David shows some folks who just won the lottery three homes, and they get to pick which one they're going to buy.
Wow. At the same time, were you same watching time. It while you were eating your grilled cheese sandwich?
Absolutely.
All right. Hey, you were in heaven, huh?
Good day today.
Odd Couple, keep it locked.